Hi, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as Stars Cast. You know, I say this every time we're on because I want to make sure there might be new people joining. They'll say, well, who is Stars Cast? Who is Natalie? She is one and the same. Anyways, we have a great show again tonight. I have a wonderful gentleman on, and, of course, I have my co-host. He is also a wonderful gentleman, my good co-host, Al. Al kind of, like, picks things up for me so I don't have to talk so much and my voice doesn't get all raspy and all that. And how are you doing tonight, Al?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing, Natalie? And thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm doing good, and I'm still a little under the weather, but, you know, I wrote in my email last week or something, I guess it was. I said, well, I'm going to take a break today and not work at warp speed. And somebody wrote me back and said, warp speed, what is that? And I wrote back, fast. But anyways, yeah, it takes an awful lot to get me to where I cannot function at all, and I'm still doing okay. I mean, I am doing okay. It's just that I'm still a little bit under the weather. Anyways, I want to let everybody know about mysticlivingtoday.com. Go there. The new issue is up. It went up on the 1st. Lots of good stuff there. It's amazing, and oftentimes you'll look at the authors, and I'll have them on the show in later weeks, because that's exactly what happens. You know, I'll get something from the publicist, and they'll say, hey, would you like to do this one on the show? And of course, but now I'm into March, so, you know, we just book as far ahead as we can, and so long as everything goes well, and I'm okay, and Al's okay, and then we're good to go. And then also I'd like you to go to my other site, Stars with a Z, psychics.com. Now, that site, we've got specials going on for new people only, 10 minutes for $10, 15 minutes for $15, and $25 for 25 minutes. Now, those are really great specials. Many people do the 10 for 10, and it's good. There's a host of advisors on right now. A lot of them, I should say not a lot of them, many of them have been with me since I began STARS, which is like about 7.5 years ago now. I know it's hard to believe. And there are some who have been with me since Planet STARS, which I started in 1998, if you can believe that. I do have several that have been with me that long and rarely took a break from the site. But it's just wonderful to have these kind of people because, well, it kind of tells me something about me, you know. So let me see if our guest is all set up here. Fonda, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm just walking into the Austin.
Okay, have you moved to your location so we don't get the back noise?
Yeah, I'm literally just walking.
Are you still walking?
Yeah, just another 30 seconds.
Okay, I'll give you a couple minutes. Okay, anyways, this is Sponda Mack, and he is the founder of Soul-Based Living. Now, what catches most of us is the word soul. And we're going to find out all about the site when he gets to a location where he's not having some kind of, you know, background noise there because it makes it so difficult to hear. I have questions for him, so he's going to be asked a few things. But mostly, as everybody knows how I start the show, is I always let them say, you know, how did you begin? I mean, how did you get this idea? Where did this all come from? Because like myself and like Al, we all started someplace. We all either met somebody that kind of led us down the path, or we picked up a book or whatever. And you know, for me, it was working for a group, believe it or not, of psychics that I had to handle them all. And then I worked for America Online, and that's when it really all began. That's when the one site started, planetstars.com. You could go over there. That's the hub. That's Planet Stars with a Z. Everything is always with a Z for me. And I rhymed that. That's pretty good. And, of course, Stars with a Z, psychics.com. And then Mystic Living Today started in 1999, and it's been going strong ever since, and better and better and better. And so, Al, I think I'm going to let you intervene a little bit here and tell me how your week has been. Everything's going good?
Everything's going really well for me. I've been dealing with a lot of rain here in Baja, but it's great because now instead of the hills being brown, they're green, so that's good. I think California got hit with some major thunderstorms, and they have a lot of rain also. But other than that, it's great. I have a beautiful view of the sun right now, overlooking the ocean, and I'll put up a picture on the later on.
If you follow Al on Facebook, you'll see he's always got beautiful pictures. Like, this is what it looked like when I was doing the show with Natalie, and they're so beautiful. I'm here in South Carolina. It's been in the 70s, believe it or not. I mean, you know, we're just talking about this is a very warm winter for us. I mean, it can get bad, mm-hmm. but we're already into February, so it's January that's the month that we usually see it really drop. But so far, so good. It's going to stay in the 70s, and then, you know, it'll go to the 60s. But we don't get really cold at night. I'm not putting my ferns out yet. They're sitting in my shower, believe it or not. They're probably happy there because it's nice and warm, and, you know, they get some humidity. And I don't put them out much before April. Until I know that the night is going to be warm enough for them, I don't risk it. And some of them I have had for a really long time, and I don't know. They were gifts to me, and I like to take really good care of them. But anyways, okay, Sponda, are you ready?
Yes. Yes, I am. Thank you.
Oh, yes?
Yes, absolutely. Hello.
Okay. All right. This is Sponda Mack, and he is the founder of Soul-Based Living. I have some information here. I'm going to read this because I want to be accurate with it. It says here, as a four-year-old, you had a moment of self-realization. Everything became dazzling brighter. I love that, dazzling. And you heard something that said, always remember this moment. Now, can you tell us what that was about and how? Okay, you were 4 years old, and you got this kind of an epiphany, but four is pretty young to come to a realization of anything. I mean, usually it's about, and if you're a little boy, it's about your cars and your toys and all of that. But how did this happen for you?
Yeah, exactly. So it's not something I said, hey, I think I'm going to, you know, set an intention or do some meditation or any kind of spiritual work or anything. So my story is actually not that unique. I've heard from many people over the years that they had a similar experience as a little child. But I think there's two big gifts from my story. One is that my parents did not suppress this, and they didn't necessarily encourage me, but they didn't make it weird or abnormal that I was having these experiences. And I started giving people psychic messages as a little child also, and they didn't make that weird either. They just said, we want you to be safe and don't walk up to people in the middle of the airport or run away from us, to go give somebody a message because you're little and we need to know where you are. And then, so there was that part, which I've heard from so many people, their parents made whatever phenomenon was going on, that's scary, that's weird, or stop doing that. And then the other part was I didn't do anything in this lifetime to awaken. It was just a gift. It was something that was given to me as a four-year-old. And I didn't even begin to understand it till I was about maybe nine and started to have enough of a consciousness to even start to think about it.
Okay, so and then it just continued on for you as you got older. You got stronger and stronger with your gifts. Mine did not start at the age of four. I mean, and I don't know about you, Al. Okay, I mean, so that's kind of unique, that be a little boy and come to this realization that, wow, I can do this. Wow, I know this. I mean, I was too busy with playing with dolls and didn't pay any attention. Maybe I had something going on for me, but I didn't even recognize it because I wasn't supposed to. So, but for you, it was different. How wonderful.
Yeah, actually, yes. There was more and more awareness as I got older, because when I went to kindergarten, I realized, you know, other kids are not having these experiences. And it wasn't just voices. It wasn't just spiritual messages for people. It was an awakening of consciousness. So everything before that moment, and it happened in a moment, everything opened up. Everything became more real, more vivid, color, sounds, senses, everything.
You weren't afraid at all?
No. I mean, I didn't have anything to be afraid of. It was just, I'm more aware. And also, four years old, I think there just wasn't there wasn't enough before time, like how were things before. So I quickly forgot what it was like to live in what I think most people live in. They don't see all of the little detail of everything in the world around them as I do, or hear every little detail. And actually, I became very overwhelmed by it as I got older, and it took me years to find, like, I guess, the dials or the on and off button. Maybe that's a way to explain
it. Oh, yeah. It would be an awful lot to, a lot of information to digest, and it could also be kind of scary because you're so aware and you're so little, and the people around you that are your age, they don't have a clue. So you could have felt a little different. Did you feel different from them?
There was certainly an understanding that something was happening because my parents would say, you know, don't walk away from us to go give someone a message. And then my sister's constantly asking me questions. So I was, you know, my identity was psychic boy, the one that could give an answer, and which was fine. It started to get weird as a teenager because you want to integrate with society and find your place. And I was in a world that didn't really accept who I was.
And you were just so advanced. I mean, Al, was it like that for you when you were a little boy, a little tiny type? Did you? It wasn't for me at all. I mean, I didn't find anything until I had a visitation when I almost died. That's when my world changed. But I guess it happens for people. But what about you, Al?
Well, actually, so at an early age, I knew there was something happening, but I thought it was normal. I thought that everything that was happening to me or for me was normal, so I thought everybody else can do it. And it wasn't until I turned 40 years old when I awakened that I realized that I understood other things that most people didn't. So it took me a while to have the understanding.
Okay, I have a question for you, Spanda. When somebody like myself is so much older, when something happens to him or her, and you're so young, is there an explanation for that? Why? Well, I know for me why. I mean, like I said, I almost died. But I, like for you, yours was ongoing. And same thing with you, Al. I mean, I just think that's tremendous. I mean, I'm in awe because I hear a lot of, you know, how people get started. Of course, interviewing them and interviewing them even for my site. And the thing of it is that they all start, to me, most of them start when they're older, not younger. So, I mean, to me, you're really an absolute unique human being to me because to have recognition for that and then have parents who didn't stifle it, which they could.
Yeah.
They could have said, oh, no, don't bother that. Just be a little boy. But they didn't do that with you. So did they have gifts also?
No, they did not.
Okay.
What I did understand over time was my mother went to a spiritualist church on the island of Puerto Rico when she was a little girl. And that kind of church had messages. You know, you would give a message.
Okay.
So there was at least some container for what it was. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then maybe another aspect was reading about other parts of the world as I got older, and I discovered the Indian sages and saints who sometimes were in an awakened state from birth. So they didn't even have the 4 years of ordinary consciousness that I did. So looking at others, and then also, and then in Asia, for example, the Dalai Lama's training started at 4.
Yeah, I mean, Al, isn't this amazing to you? I mean, of course, you know, I grew up as a little Catholic girl, so I was exposed to things, but not in the way, I guess, as I became older that I you know, I think you start to realize what you've been doing as a little girl. You know, you take sacraments and all of that.
Mm.
And then we started to question everything, and I think I told Al this. Here I'm sitting in this church with all this gold, right? And I'm supposed to be talking
mm-hmm.
to God. And I sat there and I thought, Sponda, to myself, now I was probably maybe 8, why
mm.
do I have to be here to talk to God?
Mm.
I don't see him.
Yikes.
Isn't he everywhere? But so I questioned him. Of course, I didn't say anything because the nuns walked around in their habits. They put the fear of God in you. They put the fear of
right.
the yardstick in you. I mean, you didn't dare look cross-eyed at him or even ask him a question. But
right.
but as I got older and older, I mean, I went to Mass every day. And
mm.
then I started thinking, boy, was I brainwashed. But I wasn't really brainwashed. I got something from it. I got
yeah.
my spirituality, a little bit of it. That's not where it all came from, though. I can tell you that.
Mm.
It didn't.
Mm-hmm.
It came to me when I was a little girl at home by myself. That's where I got it, when I was alone.
Mm.
So,
mm.
you know, I can't
mm-hmm.
really say how old I was. But for you,
mm.
you had all of this. And so then you're in your teens, and everything is getting stronger and more predominant.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
then I have something here that says you started meditating. Meditating, people don't realize, is so good for you. If you can do it, doesn't matter how long you do it, but if you could do it every day, 10 minutes, 20
yeah.
minutes, but you were doing it for 3 hours per day. That's
yes.
a long time.
Yes. And there was a very challenging time before that where I had depression. And so for me, the time of meditation was more to find peace and find a way to be in the world. So my psychic ability opened and opened and opened to where I couldn't function. So I was hearing, seeing, feeling, and I was just completely bombarded. And then
right, too much
I'm
at one time. Too much at one time. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and I'm not exactly sure, but right after that came the depression, and it was very bad. And so when it got to a very severe level of feeling this depression, now it didn't affect my ability to reason. So I don't know what it's like for other people, but I'm sensing this kind of despair emotion. But my logical brain is saying nothing's wrong. You know, what is this? Is this chemical, biochemical? Is it toxins?
Right. No,
you know,
you're right.
What is it?
You're right. You're absolutely
and
right.
And so,
the question.
Yeah.
Is.
Yeah. So then I'm thinking, okay, this is not real in a way. It's not me. It's something that's happening to me. It's something I'm suffering from. And I need to get to the bottom of this. And so I started, after a little investigation, reading about meditation, I said, okay, I'm going to make a commitment to myself. And it wasn't all at once. It was an hour in the morning, an hour in the afternoon, and an hour in the evening. And I fit it in. I arranged my life around that because I was committed to getting on some kind of solid ground emotionally and energetically, as I was also looking for how to control this power instead of it controlling me, the ability to perceive everything.
Right, and they were playing havoc with you because it was too much at one time. And if you don't,
yeah.
and most people don't get slammed with everything at one time. I mean, most people, from the people that I've talked to, and there's been a lot of them, it's a slow process. You'll, you know, maybe sometimes they'll hear something. Sometimes I hear. I don't always hear. I can't do it on a cue. Like Val said, well, what are you hearing now? Well, you know, Al knows my cards talk to me, so I guess in a sense I do. But I can't say, okay, Sponda, this is what I'm hearing for you. And now it has happened to me before, but it's not, I can't make it happen. I have to be in the perfect state to be able to do that. And as you know, because you're busy, when you get really busy, you're in a different kind of world. You're in a working world. You're not in a, like, you know, just sitting there with nothing to do and, okay, come on, tell me some stuff here. It just doesn't work like that for me. but Al, I don't know how it works for you, but it's you were very unique, but you handled it very well, it sounds like to me.
Well, there was a it's fascinating to discuss it, as it's making me think about things I haven't thought about in a while. Another thing was, because it was so severe, because I was absolutely bombarded with energy and information, I had to find a level of mastery that I don't think other people have to find. I had to go really deep into, how do I make it stop? How do I make it start? How do I need to, you know, lower it, increase it? Where's the dials? Where's the volume? So it, I didn't have a choice of doing this any other way except very deeply into mastery of this psychic ability, because it's like being thrown off of a horse, you know, and being, you know, drugged by the stirrup, you know. It wasn't a matter
right.
of, oh, it'd be nice to enhance this or do something about it. It was a matter of being able to function in the world. So there were two things that happened that drove me toward mastery. One was the depression, where I've got to right my ship. I've got to learn how to sail the ship of my life. And the other was this psychic ability that was like being in a hurricane, and I've got to make this work. So
yeah, you were whirling around. You needed to control it exactly. Yeah.
So this lifetime has not been one of I'm choosing to do things, because the third thing, my childhood awakening, was also not my choice. So there's three things I didn't choose, but I chose how to deal with what was given to me, what was happening to me.
Right. And you learned how to understand. You understood it. You learned. Go ahead, Al. I'm sorry.
It's okay. So, Sandra, so let me ask you this. So when you were, at some point you realized that you had a mastery over this being of who you are and the power that, or the gift that you had, how did you function in this reality or in this world knowing that you were quote-unquote different?
Well, I think I have had various levels of success in doing that. There were times when I was, the 6 years when I was meditating 3 hours a day, there was a lot of retreat. It was a lot of, okay, I'm not going to deal with the world so much. I didn't do that much during that time. And I got stronger and stronger, and it was a time that has allowed me to help thousands and thousands of people. But I didn't do that much during that time. And then what worked for me, especially in combination with overcoming depression, was service, the being of service. And then the other aspect of it was a kind of intensity of living where I found, and I believe this is connected to the depression, is that there are people that want to do extreme mountain climbing, or maybe they feel compelled to do it. And there are people that want to jump a motorcycle over 13 buses and other crazy things like that. And I'm one of those people. I realize I need an intense amount of experience and busyness and work, and that's what works for my brain.
And I can vouch for that. You're a very intense person, but I love you anyway.
Thank you.
He's hard to keep up with. Is that what you're saying, Al? You can't keep up with him. I mean, it's like a fast speed. I'm sitting here listening to you,
now,
and I'm trying to. Go ahead, Spanda.
Sorry to interrupt. I call Al the hardest working man in light work, because he's the one that's been to Australia and Korea and done all these things and made a movie. And Al is a very, very hardworking person. I think what I'm talking about is a kind of intensity of personality. And it's almost like I want to call it like fire, like a spiritual fire. So there are different kinds of people.
Yeah, and that's what I was referring to, is you're very direct with your energy, pinpoint. You know what? I'll tell you exactly how I see and feel you. Is you're an explosion happening in every second.
Yeah, and it's Al's high degree of spiritual evolution that he sees that exactly correctly. I myself call it like it's a bomb. It's this huge amount of energy pouring out that I'm doing the best I can to regulate. And sometimes I do better and sometimes worse. But what has helped me enormously over time is I learned that there's a certain amount of energy you can hold in your body, and that's it. And if you go past that, things are going to start going what I call sideways or weird. And I found I needed a community to help me hold the energy. And then I really shifted because I was a singular, a traveling practitioner for about 20 years during the 80s and 90s.
And that was tough on you, right? Was that tough to do?
It was, because the energy kept growing. There was no end. And maybe there is no end. And I got to a point where I also looked at what was happening in such places as China and India, where they have been delving into these things for thousands of years. And I saw at a certain point the person has a group of students, a group that are working with them to help them with the energy. And then I had a kind of aha moment where I thought, oh, this is like the lampshade for the light bulb. This energy, which I call a capacity, like an electric capacitor, electronic capacitor, helps regulate the energy. So, and when this energy is not correctly regulated by a community, all kinds of things go haywire. And that's why you see certain spiritual groups get really weird. Either the teacher gets really weird or the students get really weird or both.
Yes.
And all kinds of strange phenomenon occur. And it's now it could simply be that they're doing things incorrectly, but it's often not anything that they're doing intentionally. It's just they haven't created a container, the correct container for the energy.
I'm trying to think, when I was working with this group, I mean, it was huge. It was back up in Michigan. This was when I was first kind of brought into the area of psychics, so to speak, okay?
Yeah.
And the woman that I dealt with first, she was weird. She was weird, but she could read candle drippings, and her cards were phenomenal. That's how I learned how to do my cards. Maybe that's why I do so well with them, because she didn't know she was teaching me, but I was watching everything she was doing, right? Okay, so she was strange. But, I ended up surrounded by all of these psychics. We would do these big fairs. This is in the Detroit area, so it was huge. And, I'm going to tell you, Spanda, and I told Al this, and I've told people before that I would watch them, and I'd sit there and say, gee, I wish I could do that. Why can't I do that? Is this what I'm supposed to do, just be the keeper of the money? I always held all the money, always. I was the keeper of the money. Give it to Natalie. Nothing's going to happen to it. She's going to hold on to it tight, which I did. It never disappeared. But it took a long time, and then finally, I guess because I noticed the group was getting strange,
yes,
I pulled away. I didn't even know I was doing it, but it just didn't interest me anymore. And then the woman that was weird was using me. She was having me, I allowed her. She was having me do all of her, paperwork and all of that. She wasn't paying me. And I didn't feel that she had respect for me, because she was all that in a bag of chips, right? She just thought that she was everything. And then little Natalie sitting there watching her, and I'm thinking to myself, now, wait a minute here, something's wrong. You are not treating me like an equal. And but sometimes, and you probably notice this, Spanda, when you have been around, you'll see people who have abilities, and they just think that they are better than everybody else. She was one of them, and so were some of the others. And that's instinctively I pulled away. I stopped. Nobody told me to do it. I just realized this is not abuse. This is not good for you. This is not healthy for you. And I was really glad that I did, because it allowed me to explore my own gifts on my own. And I didn't even know what they were.
absolutely.
Because you see what happened was. Go ahead, Spanda. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, we could write a book.
Well, about, and it was at that time, and Al's heard this, that I almost died, right? I got real sick with this virus that was about at the time of the Ebola virus. We have no idea. Came into Michigan. Two of us got it. I think we got it from a glass in a restaurant. I think that's how I got it. Needless to say, I always use straws. But anyways, I had a visitation during the night. I woke up. I was awakened, actually, and my whole room was this golden yellow color, right? Okay, well, you're not thinking this, but they were thinking this. Oh, this is great healing because you're so sick. And so I said to one gal, I said, well, that's all in good. I said, but you know what? I didn't have to see this to be healed. It meant something else for me. Well, they would never honor that. I mean, I explained to them it was about a 7-foot crystal on my back wall. Mm. That's where the glow was coming from. And I stayed up and awake until I believed it was real, and then I fell back to sleep. I mean, you would have thought I would have stayed up until the light came, you know? Not me.
Mm.
That's it. She believed it, put her to sleep. I didn't argue with all of these girls, but I just thought to myself, you know, you can't even give me a little bit of something here because you have never had this happen to you. That's why. I figured it out. I don't know that they were so envious of me. They had nothing to be envious of. They were all very talented. But that's when it started for me, was that I wrote it down and I drew a picture of it, and I know the time, and I've never forgotten it. It's found it in my whole life. And obviously it was a massive healing for me, but it was an opening for me for something.
Exactly.
I don't see the
light as healing for you. The light is your light. Sometimes something bad happens, and our human mind says it's bad, like a sickness or something, or we go through a challenge, and then that purification, I call it purification, opens your chi. It opens your energy.
Mm-hmm.
So it is sometimes. Happens that people get shaken out of their ordinary state by a near-death experience or an accident or just some stresses in life or illness, and it opens their chi. We don't know why. It changes their energy. So the light is simply you. You know, it's your light. It's your awakening.
It was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah,
it was
a blessing of who you are, and it was opened by that challenge. And maybe not even that challenge, but many other things, but that was the catalyst.
Okay.
So, Fonda, as you know, a mutual friend introduced us several years ago. And at that time, you were doing what at that time you called soul portrait. So in your early ages, you were, quote-unquote, a psychic, as you called it. And eventually, like I said, when I met you, you were doing soul portraits. How did you evolve to that?
So another thing that just happened. I didn't say, let me do paintings for people. So it happened where I've been an artist also since very, very young and also psychic, but I never thought to put them together. And then I was at a event where the host of this, the owner of this center, healing center, said, we're going to do a psychic fair and we're going to do an art fair at the same time. And then, okay, great. Everyone thought that was cool and everyone participated, and some people were doing psychic stuff and some people were showing their art. And the owner said, well, you know, do you want to do some psychic work here? And I said, no, you got a bunch of people doing that and I want to do art. I'm gonna paint. I'm gonna bring an easel and I'm gonna paint while the event's going on, and that's gonna be what I want to do. So he said, okay, fine. Now he didn't make it clear to people who was doing what, why, where. Just there's people painting, there's people doing sculpture, whatever they're doing, flower arranging, and there were some psychics. So he comes up to me and someone that was there attending, who didn't quite understand, just said, oh, everything must be psychic in some way. So can you do some psychic thing for me with your art? And I thought, I don't know. I've never tried that before, but I'm willing to try. So it all started from I'm willing to try. So it turned out that I just got into my zone, having over the years learned how to turn the energy on and off, and called in what was needed and desired for his best and highest good to see at that time through the art I was creating for him. And there was all kinds of stuff coming through. And it was great. And he was very excited and he was very happy. And he had some friends there and they said, hey, this guy's going to, you know, draw for you what you need to see. And so they did it. And then a few more people lined up and a few more. And now, as you said, Natalie, I just got into that zone. Like,
right.
Like the whole place just kind of disappears. And then I get a tap on the shoulder from the owner. And the owner says, hey, can you speed up? Can you go faster? And I said, why on earth would you want me to go faster? And he said,
faster
look behind
around
you.
The block or what?
No. He said, can you do the set? Can you do the readings faster?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. And so he says, look behind you, and there's a long line. And
oh,
I said,
my.
Oh, I hadn't seen the line. I was just so into what I was doing. So I said, yeah, I'll go
not.
As fast as I can. Yeah. And so that's how it started.
Sorry. Is that when I first met you? Are you talking about, is that the event when I first met you, or is it another event?
That very first event, I believe it was in the late 90s. It might have been 98. It might have been 99. Can't quite remember anymore. But it was in Victorville, California, at a little place called Silver Sage, which was only open for a couple of years.
Okay, I didn't meet you until like 2004, 2005. Because I remember when I first met you, you had a line also. And it was at a center. And everybody kept pushing me to go see you. Everybody thought, you got to go see this guy. You got to get a reading and see get the soul portrait done. And I go, what the heck is a soul portrait? I never heard of that. What is that? And I'll tell you this, Natalie, it was amazing. The reading that I got while he simultaneously drawing this picture was a freaking amazing. I have never had that done before that, and since then, I haven't heard anybody do that before, or still don't.
You know, it shouldn't surprise me because, Sponda, you are visual. Al, when he knew he was going to be on the show, he wanted to do a banner. And I told him, nobody has ever offered, and I say this with sincerity, has ever offered to do anything when they're on my show. So I am honored, especially to have you, because, you know, and I do this just
because I
love talking and I love people and, you know, I put you out and let you tell about yourself so you can promote yourself and all that. But he did this, I'm telling the audience and the listeners, he did this banner of the three of us. And, I mean, he didn't know us. I mean, he knew Al, but he didn't know me. And he took my picture because I sent him one. And it just turned out beautifully. But to go through that means to me that this means something to you, what we're doing right now. And that's how I feel about it. I mean, I've had publicists say, okay, I'll send you a book. I don't ask anybody anything. If you want to do it, you're going to do it. It's called divine order. You'll either do it or you won't. And if you want to reach me, you're going to reach me because you know you're supposed to anyways. So you better pick up the pace and reach me. But anyways, I think... I told Al, I said, what a wonderful man he is. And you even told me how happy you were to be on the show tonight. You wrote me today. Do you know I don't ever get that?
I'm surprised.
Well, you know, I get a lot of thank yous. Oh, Natalie, he had a good time and all of that. I mean, there was one gentleman that he was a motivational speaker, and I was, to tell you the truth, I hesitated to interview him, and he's pretty famous. And we went an hour and a half, and he said to me near the end, he said, I have never had such a good interview in my entire life. So now what he asked me to do was to write, he's got a book coming out. I am in the inside cover. He asked me to write something about him, and I was happy to do it. Nobody's ever asked me to do that before. But in his own way, he is helping to promote Natalie, and I don't need to be promoted. Whatever. God is in control of this, as far as I'm concerned. Whatever he feels that I should be doing, I will continue doing, but I do love doing this. And so, but you, Sponda, you just went beyond, and I'm so impressed with you, and I want the listeners to know that. And so,
thank you.
What else I want to ask you here is, a lot of people, and I have these questions, a lot of people have epiphanies in their life. What was yours? Well, how was yours different? Was it the culmination of all these abilities that you had, that you realized you had them all? What happened? Was there any particular moment in time or year in your life that you said, wow, I think I'm here. I think I've got it. Yes, I do.
Mm. Oh,
it's never happened.
That's an awesome question. Excuse me. Certainly, nothing compares to the awakening. And I don't think, I don't need anything to compare to the awakening I had as a four-year-old. It was like going from black and white to color, like in The Wizard of Oz. And I'm so blessed that that happened. That's the lottery 10 times over. I can't ask for anything else. So it's always been being the person that honors that experience that I was given.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of aha or epiphany or I'm here now is after those years of meditation, I was able to experience my personality from a higher perspective as if I was outside of it. And I realized I'm not this little temporary creature that we call human being. I'm something else. Not as a concept, but as a reality. I experienced the reality of there's this little person talking with his wishes and hopes and desires and fears and everything. And I am something else. And this something else noticed Sponda reacting to it, and it's reacting to Sponda. So there was like there were two minds, a higher mind and the human mind, meeting each other, but somehow they're both me. And then
I don't know. What about you, Al? Did you have some kind of epiphany or something that you finally said, "Okay, I got it. I know what I'm supposed to be doing." At all?
Oh yeah, that definitely happened. My epiphany is, and so when my awakening process was happening, I was surrounded by mentors. I was going to conferences and workshops and doing all these things, reading all these books. I had a whole library of books and a whole bit. And then one day, my epiphany was, if I keep looking for the answers outside of myself, I will never get there. And I realized that I already had the answers, and I no longer needed to search. I just needed to remember.
Yes, yeah, you guys are you are both so enlightened. I don't think I can compare to the two of you. I think my the thing that I'm supposed to be I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, obviously, and that is presenting all the beautiful people in the world so that everybody can hear you and learn of your work. I do that, and I did have this publicist say to me a couple of weeks ago. He said, "I'm so happy to be a part of your team." And I read what he said, and I'm thinking, "My team? What is my team?"
Mm-hmm.
And then, he said to me, "You are doing something tremendous." Now he did tell me this. He sent me quite a few people to interview. I have the greatest respect for him just because he said that to me, part of your team. He said, because of what you're bringing to the world. Well, that made me feel really good. I mean, just a one-liner made me feel really good. He did do that for me. I can get any book I want, and it can get any recording I want. But, you know, you're just looking for that respect, I guess, but I don't think, I may have had an epiphany when I was a little girl, and I've told people my story about being home alone all the time, and I had help from no one, and I don't even know how how I got to be where I got to be, because I was alone all the time, and I was an only child. But you know what? I had a lady that I used to do the show with, and Al knows about her. Her name is Maya Moon. She always told me, she said, I think that the archangels and the angels worked with you, and you didn't even know it. She was a medium. And she said, because there is no way you should be like you are. She said, you should be a brat, the way you were treated as a little girl. And she said, you're such the opposite. So she said to me, that just tells me, and I'm getting this information from my guys. No, she was raised by archangels and angels. She was learning the whole time, even because I read a lot. I read everything. You know, if they didn't come and get me to go outside and play, oh, okay, good. I'll go listen to my music. I'll get a book. I'll read. Because she said, didn't you get mad and cry? I said, no. She said, doesn't that sound kind of odd? I said, no. I didn't realize how odd I was until I got to be older, and I just kind of accepted it, and I just moved along with the flow. So I got something, I think, Sponda and Al, from being by myself. The enlightenment that maybe that I needed, didn't even know that I was getting it, because then other doors opened for me that allowed me to venture off. Eric Online was one of them, and the doors kept opening to where I was supposed to be an owner, like I am right now, of what I do. But you know, sometimes I don't feel that it's enough. I mean, somebody says, well, why don't you get on the site and read? Because I don't really want to do that. I don't feel that that's my gift. I think my gift is bring Sponda and Al and all the beautiful people that I've met since I've been doing this since June, and they all want to come back, is to chat with them, make them feel good about what they're doing, and show them how happy I am that they're on my show. I don't know, Sponda. I don't know if you get anything, but I really think as a little girl that was my epiphany or my enlightenment, period of enlightenment, even though I didn't even know it. I didn't have a clue. I knew nothing.
Yeah.
I want to interject here, Christian. One thing for both of you. So, Natalie, in the last 10 to 15 minutes, I've had a brilliant idea that came to mind, that spirit was brought to me, and I'm going to have to share it with you privately. And Sponda, this might even involve you. I'm not sure yet, but it's a brilliant idea. And it's funny, Natalie, what you're just saying right now kind of fortifies the idea that
awesome.
When you feel better.
I'm all for new things. You know, I love to expand. I love to.
Okay.
I don't have a closed mind. I love new things. I really, really do. I was always afraid. But not anymore.
Okay, we'll be talking in the next day or two when you feel better. Sponda,
okay,
so
sounds good.
Sponda, I knew you when I first met you under a different identity. How did you evolve to your current identity?
Yeah, again, continuing to grow and wanting to shift and communicate that growth. But it had to be a team effort. I was a practitioner. I was seeing 15 people a day, not every day, because I was traveling. So there were traveling days. There were days when I would land with readings. I would do these events at like a big mansion, and there were various people doing sessions, massage, whatever. But I never got to experience any of it because I was in a room with a line. And sometime late in the night, I'd come out when the people finally stopped coming in to see me while they're like wrapping up and cleaning. And I said, leave me something to eat.
give me a few moments here, right, to recoup. Because that is draining. You know, Sponda, all of that is draining. I used to do readings at home, 5, 6, one right after the other. Not as many as you, but I found myself, oh, my God, I was exhausted. Because they were pulling, I was giving of myself to each one of them, and it was, and I don't think I really minded doing that, but I think I had enough of it. That's why I love what I do. I can put my hands on different areas in different, you know what I'm saying, in different things that I do. The magazine, stars, planet stars. You know, I'm writing a fairy tale. and all these things. And I like doing that. I don't like to be, that's why I'm not an advisor on the site. I'll do privates, but I'm not an advisor on the site because of that. And I you know, Fonda and Al, I don't want to take anything from all of them. I hire them in. If I wanted it to be Natalie Stars or whatever, I would have named it that. But I envisioned it to be like this, and I could have it really big if I wanted it. But I don't want that. I want all these beautiful people that have been with me, some of them 10, 15 years. I want them to be happy, you know, using their tools, be comfy at home. I mean, I have over 2,000 applications. And Sponda, I told you about that. I have thousands of them. Because, and the nicest thing they can say to me is, I want to work for Stars, and I want to work for you, Natalie, because I've heard such wonderful things. Well, thank goodness. I don't want them to say, well, I heard that, you know, you're a real witch. No, I'm not. Not at all. I'm shrewd. I had somebody at PayPal tell me how shrewd I was. I said, that's true. That is true. I won't turn on a dime, but be careful. Because there's a business sense in me also that will take it by the reins and say, okay, enough is enough. And you have to handle clients like that. But anyways, so I don't know, maybe it was a gradual enlightenment for me. Fonda, you started to tell me, but I don't know. I don't really know. I think when I was a little girl, though, that it took over and did what it was supposed to do for me. I didn't even have to know. I didn't miss a beat. She doesn't have to know. Just drag her down. I had this one lady that started working for me, and she said, you know, I was assigned to you. She's like a mentor to me, you know. I've known her for 20-some years. And I said, why? She said, because somebody has to. She said, you're like this little princess. She said, you know, you get all of these ideas and you want it now. I said, yeah, but I'm better about that now. And she said, oh, really? She said, well, I don't think so. I said, well, no, you know, I want to be happy, but I want everybody to be happy. And I always tell everybody, if I had a magic wand, I'd fix it all. I would just sweep it all. Mm. We'd be all good and wonderful. That would be my gift. And but I don't know. I think when I was a little girl that I was led. I was told things I didn't even need to know that I was told things, but I was. Don't you think, Sponda?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Sponda, so with everything you've done and everything you're doing, where are you at now? What are you doing for all of humanity?
It's really about community. There's only so much we can do. And I was for over 25 years a practitioner, singular, you know, I'm doing work with people. But I wanted to do more. I want to help on a planetary scale. And that needs team. You have to have a team. So I have a team six. Yeah, I have a team of students. I am mentoring them. They're the second generation of my work. And also I feel this is my authentic path, that my work is supposed to survive my death. So I am working with young people so that when I'm gone, it keeps going. And some of them were quite young when they started with me, 22, 23. Now they're 26, 27. A couple of them are 30. And I give them authority. Like, you take charge. You go with my guidance. And people flourish when you give them ownership. And say, you can
That's
do it.
Great.
Even if everyone said, you can't do it, you can. I believe that you can do it. Let's figure out. You have to make a decision. I can do it. And then how? Then you solve the how part.
I just think it's all amazing what you've done thus far. And you also, let's mention this, if you have this site, and I have it pulled up on my little trusty, my big monitor, I should say. I have three of them, but this one is to the right, and it's, you know, it's soulbasedliving.us, so you open it, and it's if you go to the homepage, it's really, it grabs you. It's got all the, these must be all the people maybe that you're mentoring or that are with you right
That's
now,
right.
all of these people.
That's right.
But then, now this is the deal. Then you go to this next page, and there's an elephant. Now, everybody knows in the whole world I want to go to Africa. My dear friend, Billy Dodson, is going on the 24th. That's a place I want to go to more than anything. I don't know if I'll get there, but I saw that elephant and I thought, aha, that's a sign.
Yes.
I like this man right away. But anyways, your site is about all these beautiful people, images of them in different settings, some in the mountains, some by the water, and one is with the elephant. One is looking over this beautiful lady, the back of her, and there you are. There you are, right there. And you've got all kinds of stuff here. You can enter the site. I like to tell people about the sites that you have. I don't want to just keep talking about. I end up talking about myself, and I don't really like to do that, but it just kind of generates, you know, Al knows me. It's just the way I am. That's why you have to interrupt me. If you have something to say, just talk, because God knows that I will carry on, and we do have longer than 60 minutes. But that's one of my gifts. I don't know. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But there you are. And there's a lot of things here on the site that you need to go through, click on. There's a gallery. There's a place to donate. But do that. And what it says here, and I'm going to ask you about this. It says, welcome to Soul-Based Living. You have started your journey through the stars, not with a Z, people, but with an S, with the angels to find your higher self with us. We are grateful for the opportunity and take your quest for truth very seriously in our organization. And then it goes on and tells a few more things. Okay, journey through the stars. What does that mean to you, Spanda? Why did you write that? What does that mean?
Well,
angels through the stars. The journey with the angels through the stars.
Yes, so one of my students, Lily, wrote that. And there's many things on the website that are written by my other students. But what
beautiful.
Lily was saying is we are an angel university. We're a university to train to, we are already angels, but we're awakening to our angel reality. And through the stars means the shamanic, multi-dimensional journey that life is, that's not just physical.
Now, how many are in your group right now? And I know you've got some that you're mentoring, correct? You've got this field of people that you're mentoring. Okay.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
Do you have a partnership going with some, or do you still travel and do your practice? Basically, like, now I think you're in Vegas, correct?
Yes, and I'm going back and forth.
You're in Vegas, okay.
To the LA area. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so are you there for a specific reason, or is this just for a little vacation? Because I know you go to places and do your work. You probably do your work everywhere you go, I'm thinking. That's what I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very work-oriented.
See, Al, we got his number. We know what he's doing. I know what he does. That's a compliment coming from me. No, it is. No, not say I got your number. That doesn't sound very nice. But I would imagine, being who you are and listening to you, that you don't stop.
No, I do not stop. I don't take days off.
You close your eyes
and
go to sleep, but then you wake up, and right away you are ready to go with your work. And
I'm working in my sleep,
wonderful.
Too. Yeah,
oh,
my sleep
goodness.
Is working. Yeah, there's all kinds
goodness
of journeys.
Gracious.
I go to other dimensions, and I'm working with other people. And
wow,
it's a joy.
I'm not as evolved as you. I am not anywhere near what you are. Not that I'm not okay. I don't know about you, Al.
We are all the same. We are all the same, and we are all equal. And it's all perfect. And we have the awareness of the perfection we are that unfolds, but you don't become, there's no such thing as becoming more enlightened or someone's more enlightened than someone else. It's simply the awareness of your perfection is more unfolded than another person, and someone has more awareness.
Right, and that's what I encountered many years ago with that whole group. See, they didn't look at me like one of them. They looked at me as just the keeper of the money. And in my own way, I envied them. Why can't I do what they do? You know, what's special about them? Little did I know, Spanda and Al, there wasn't anything special about them.
Well, you
I
have
was,
your own.
I was
you
singled
have your
out.
Own beauty.
I just yeah.
You have your own specialness. You have your own unique, powerful ability, and you also have something that most people do not have, in that you have a very strong wealth karma. So this is a life.
A very strong what?
Wealth karma, wealth destiny.
Wealth karma. Oh.
Yeah.
Now what
does
that mean? Explain that to the audience, to the listeners.
So most people have this is how much money, kind of like this is what's possible, and they would have to go through a huge evolution to increase what amount of abundance they could experience. This is
mm-hmm.
soul training, and we come in with a low and a high, and everyone's low and high of abundance is different. Your high is higher than other people. This is a lifetime where you can experience great wealth. And
well,
I can't say that about most people. It's just not. It would be very difficult.
Well, I could experience it, but it's kind of like, I guess it's my choice, but isn't it? Because it's funny, because it's not that important to me.
Yeah,
I
it
mean,
doesn't mean it's important to you.
Right. But if I wanted it to be not even important, but I could experience great wealth. I get it. I got it.
Yes.
But I could, and then I end up giving it away because that's what I would do. That's what I do.
Well,
but maybe that's why I have the wealth karma, is because I would know what to do with it.
Well, not only that, but you could keep giving it away, and it could keep coming. So it could be like
go.
A fountain.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that with a lot of areas of my life people, you know, like for me, I love giving. I love to do that. I get great satisfaction in it. And, you know, somebody else say to me, well, yeah, but are you going to get this back? And I said, well, maybe not back in the same way, but maybe in some other way. Maybe it'll be longevity, good health.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see, for me, you don't necessarily have to, if you're going to give away $5, well, I expect to get 20 back. No, not me. But that's a nice thing to say about me. Thank you very much. I have wealth karma.
Wanda.
How about that, Al? Wow.
That's awesome. Wanda, can I plant a
seed?
How would you like to share the stage again?
Anytime. That would be, always
and,
be a blessing.
Yeah, so I'm planting the seed right now, and with you, Natalie, you're going to be involved. And you and I are going to have to talk sometime very soon, like within the next couple of days.
Okay. He has an epiphany. What can I tell you?
Oh, yeah.
His light bulb turned on
huge.
Here. Oh, it's huge. Oh, see? And you see, it's Sponda, it's just like I say. A door will open, then another one will open, and it's up to you to walk through it. And sometimes, with what you do, you have to do things in steps. You have to, you know, start here. And I mean, I didn't start doing all of this just because I started five, six years ago on the radio talking about subjects. That's all we did. And then Al interviewed me the first time because I wasn't on the radio for like 3 months. And then pretty soon, here I am. I'm booked until March. Not that that's a long period of time, but I think that's great because I don't seek anybody out to do it. But Al has been great. He brought you to me. He's brought some others, and I'm grateful for him. And we always have a good show, he and I, together when we do it. And I really love having him as my co-host. And I'm so happy I got to meet you, Sponda, finally.
Likewise.
And we will. I guess we're going to be talking again sometime. Al will arrange it. I would love that.
Awesome, thank you.
And you need
thank
to apply on the site, Sponda.
Okay. Awesome, thank you.
Yes, I sent you the link. I think you got it.
Yes,
And what he said, I'm going to repeat what he said, is he just loved the energy from the site. And that's a great compliment. It is of the light. I am of the light. There is just no doubt. It's just what I am. I'm not... There's nothing dark around me at all, ever. There never has been. And so, you know, that's what he said to me, Al. He said that That's the he loved the feel of the sight and the energy. I think that's what you said, right, Sponda?
Yes, that's right.
And we have to believe him because I don't think he would lie about anything or whatever. Not at all. Not him. Not at all. But anyways, I want everybody to go to his site and check it out. It's soulbasedliving.us. And go there and just browse the site and look at all the beautiful things and the colors. And the second picture you're going to see, don't forget, is going to be an elephant. And you're going to look at it and you're going to say, aha, Natalie saw that.
Yes.
Oh, yes, I did.
That's right.
So, yeah, yes. It's one of my dreams. But you know what? I have to tell everybody this. The man that's going that I know, he's a wildlife photographer. And I expect him to send me, and I don't know, I could be grasping at straws here, a little video because he knows. He just knows how I feel. And he's going to send me pictures almost every day of what he's filming. And I'm so honored. So, see, I have beautiful things that come to me. I meet beautiful people. It's just wonderful. It really, really, it really, really is wonderful. And I wish everybody to have a great evening. Sponda, I can't wait to talk to you again. Al, set this
yes,
up,
thank
okay?
you so much. Yes.
Oh, I enjoy your time here
thanks.
In Vegas. I mean, don't do all work. Do a little enjoy yourself, right?
Yes, we're having fun too.
Good.
We're
you have
having
to, you have
fun
to mix
as well.
It up so that you're happy.
Yes.
And thank you so much, Al. I expect to
thank
hear from you.
You
in a few days, okay?
All
okay.
Right,
and
hot.
Al, I'm
good
interviewing
well.
You next week. Uh-oh, you're going to be
let's
in the hot seat.
Let's do it.
Okay. All right. I love you guys
thank you,
both so much.
Love you.
Thank
Natalie.
You again. And thank you
love
to my
bless.
Listeners. And, you know, as I always end the show, and Al knows this, and Sponda, you'll know now, I always say believe in things you cannot see because they really are there. And with that, I will say goodnight and love to you both. And we'll three of us will be talking again soon. Good night.
Love and blessings.
Bye-bye.
Good night.